Russell in Carmel, California. This is tape number 392. It's June the 8th, and this is side one. Most of you will be glad to know, I'm sure, that I'm finally sitting down and writing a book, my first book. I have the outline here for about 8 books that could be ready to roll at any time. I think the time is right now, after the Warren Commission completed their work, or long before it, I began to collect the information. And now the House Select Committee has completed their work and is ready to publish their findings with a sentence or a remark that the Justice Department should take it from there. They dropped the hot potato and gave money back that they didn't use. Even though they're allocated $6 million, they returned money and closed shop. And I feel now the time is right. So I'm writing hardly any letters. If you just get a quick thank you for articles or books that you're sending, it'd be short sentences. And I'm not taking phone calls usually during the day, and I'm working on, my goal was to begin June the 1st and work up till the middle of August. And I've cut off the telephone conversations and going down to Big Sur or wherever, the recreation part, and just staying and doing the work, allocating about 4 hours a day, and it should get done. So if I'm not as sociable as I've usually been in the past, forgive me, but that's the schedule, and I'm sure you appreciate what it is. It's hard to cut the daily newspapers and file those and assimilate the information, and I'll be keeping up with the tapes and write a book at the same time. That is the June, July, and part of August work that I have set for me. The number one story, of course, this week in the headlines, which I've duplicated just a piece of it for you, in the San Francisco Chronicle at least, Probers plan to call the JFK killing a conspiracy. And I, as I said on my front sheet here that I'm sending to you with the tape, I waited 15 years for this headline, and here it is. I also have listed a few of the tapes that have discussed the John Kennedy assassination and the House Select Committee on Assassinations, because there's new people taking the tapes all the time, and I'm not going to repeat, or hope I don't repeat, the information that is on the past tapes. On tape number 370, I have a triangle of the layers of the cover-up. Right now, they're at a stage, I call it stage 4, and they have a few more places to go before the truth is told. But being as the House Select Committee has suggested the Justice Department keep pursuing this, and being as volume 5 in the Warren Commission hearings has J. Edgar Hoover under oath with Gerald Ford, who is then a member of the Warren Commission, confirming that this case is open for all time, I hope maybe that the book that I do will be the wedge into opening it up a third time properly. I was a wedge it was 7 years ago, next week, the Watergate story, when the men were arrested at the Watergate Hotel, and I have told this on other tapes, and I think I will repeat it over and over, to show the power of information, because I keep saying that information is power. And we can go into Mr. Vorster's resignation in South Africa based upon some documents were taken. He finally was removed from power there. Information is power. And just 7 years ago, the day after the men were arrested at Watergate, I picked up the telephone and called Bernard Fensterwald, who's now the attorney for Mrs. Paisley, the CIA agent who has either been murdered or disappeared, for sure disappeared because the corpse didn't resemble John Paisley. But Bernard Fensterwald had a committee to investigate assassinations, a CIA front. He siphoned information in and then somewhat suppressed it or used it, but never would unfold the real story of the assassinations. He's helped keep the lid on the story. But I told him that the men arrested at Watergate Hotel were involved in the Kennedy assassination. These were the same thieves and persons who were taking away our democratic process and replacing it with a fascism, a creeping or galloping fascism, and they were tampering again with the electoral process. G. Robert Blakey, did not do a good job with the $6 million that he was allocated in 2.5 years of time. But money is easy to get, and the years go fast, and now we're ready for the next story about the John Kennedy assassination. I will make a few comments about the article that came in the New York Times this week. G. Robert Blakey had an interview. He teaches, he's a professor of law at Cornell. He went back to Cornell. Help us if the law profession is taught by these cover-up artists. That's why we have so many liars meeting the press, facing the nation on prestigious commissions, because their professors are an example of the way, the best way, you know, the brightest and the best of the country in covering up. Robert Blakey teaches at Cornell, as I say, had 2 years and $5 million, and almost the last witness before the tape recordings of an extra shot over by the grassy knoll appeared, almost the last witness was Santos Traficante from Organized Crime. And then they closed shop real fast. They had a hot potato, and they let it go. Some comments, as I say, about the New York Times article. One quotation, the conspirators may have included organized crime figures, Cubans, and James Hoffa, former president of the Teamster. This will be one of their conclusions. Well, that's a very safe place to draw the line. I didn't provide the House Select Committee on Assassinations with any information except two things. Tapes, articles, not published articles, but documents on two areas. One was the area of N.K. Fields, and I did two tapes on N.K. Fields and the Mexican connections that you can get if you don't have. Many of you have them. They were tapes 280 and 281, August 1st and 8th, 1977. I sent those tapes, and I sent the information because Mr. Fields lives in Sacramento. He's old and he's crippled, and he lived in Mexico a long time, and he knows where there's access to pictures of Lee Harvey Oswald in Mexico with persons from the CIA that all poured into Mexico after the Bay of Pigs operation. And part of that conspiracy was the discussion down there to set up Lee Harvey Oswald as a patsy, and there also was a double in Mexico. I also gave the House Select Committee on Assassinations through Yvonne Burke and other members the information of Lee Harvey Oswald, the Alexander Zeiger family in the Soviet Union at the Minsk radio factory, the CIA connections of Lee and Marina Oswald to the Zeiger family, to the Nazis in Argentina, and the defense agencies in the CIA. I might add that even though I sent all of this to them and went to the expense of sending tapes and registering and so forth, I never got a sentence, a phone call, a comment, even though they gave money back to the Congress that they didn't need for the investigation. They didn't take a $200 or $300 plane trip to Carmel, California to see any of these documents. I went at my own expense to see Jim Garrison after he arrested Clay Shaw in New Orleans to get information on the assassinations, to compare our work or to assist him if I could in any way. But that House Select Committee was given a mandate, and they wouldn't even come out here to get that information or to see it or to answer my letter, a 15-cent answer, or an 80-cent phone call. They didn't want that information, and those were two of the key areas, the doubles of Oswald, the Mexican connections, and the Minsk radio connections. That is why they are sitting on a hot potato, because it's much easier to say Carlos Marcello or the dead Jimmy Hoffa or Santos Traficante got away with his terrible murder. Murders. Lee Harvey Oswald, if it was Oswald, John Kennedy, and then the poisoning and cancer of Jack Ruby to wipe out all the witnesses. The New York Times article says that they didn't have a meeting place where they discussed the planning of the murder. That is not true, actually. The Senator Church Committee in 1976 revealed that there was a meeting place at the Plaza Hotel, that the date was 1960, that the person was Robert Mayhew, who worked for the FBI, for CIA counterintelligence, for the Howard Hughes Empire, which was a cover for CIA espionage. And at that hotel in that year, he met with members of organized crime to form assassination teams. Now, the fact that they were hired to kill Fidel Castro does not mean they weren't set up to kill anybody else. They were never asked that question. They're naming one person that has been overexposed by the media, but nobody else. Now, the very members of that team that worked with Robert Mayhew, that began their organizations through the CIA and FBI at the Plaza Hotel, were Sheffield Edwards of the CIA, John Roselli, Carlos Prio Siqueiros, George de Morenchild, William Harvey, William Sullivan, Sam Giacano, Nicholas Nicoletti. All those persons were killed within 2 years when Senator Church called a few of these people as witnesses, such as John Roselli, Sheffield Edwards, and William Harvey. They were dead immediately after Senator Church's hearings. When the House Select Committee began their investigations, then William Sullivan was killed, Sam Giacana, and Nicholas Nicoletti, and Carlos Prio Siqueiros. So from the intelligence agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and the defense, Sheffield Edwards and John Paisley, when the House Select Committee began their work, William Harvey, Carlos Prio Siqueiros, who was the former president of Cuba, who worked with the Cuban community and with the intelligence in the United States, William Sullivan of the FBI, George de Morenchild of the FBI, the CIA and the defense agencies, all worked together, were dead. And Roselli, Hoffa, Jimmy Hoffa, Sam Giacana, Nicoletti, the crime members, were dead, which leaves them with Santos Trafficana and Carlos Marchella. Bruce Roberts, who wrote the Gemstone File and gave it to me in the summer of 1972, right after my Watergate story broke, had told me, and I've mentioned this before on other tapes, that it was Carlos Marchello, the member of organized crime from New Orleans, who set up the car crash of where my daughter Bonnie was killed and Barbara was in the car, and that was in 1970, about 3 weeks after Bernard Fensterwald had visited my home for 3 days in Carmel. I'd been to New Orleans with Jim Garrison in 67. In 1970 was the time of the crash in December. One of these two crime members named by the House Select Committee on Assassinations, his name was given to me by Bruce Roberts in 1972 as setting up that car crash. Three were killed, six were badly injured and almost died. Now, if Mr. Robert Blakey says that Santos Trafficano and Carlos Marchello seem to be the guilty ones or the fingers are pointed to them, it's difficult to believe, as evil or corrupt as, say, somebody like Earl Warren could be, even possibly that scandal of a single crime that he was involved in. How could Earl Warren and John J. McCloy, chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, the originator of the OPEC combine, the oil sisters, the oil intrigue and control that they have over our lives, meeting with all these oil leaders, Senator Richard Russell of Georgia, Gerald Ford from Michigan, House Member Gerald Ford, Hale Boggs of Louisiana, Representative Cooper, Alan Dulles, former director of the CIA. There were 22 or more attorneys for the CIA and a large staff and secretaries only from the CIA, according to the minutes of the Warren Commission members that were transcribed by David Lifton and printed. Why would all of these people cover up for Santos Trafficana, Jimmy Hoffa, and Carlos Marchella, the world's leaders? A president of the United States is murdered. Why would all these people cover up? There's been links of Earl Warren, his discovery by Murray Chotiner, and Chotiner, we know, was behind Richard Nixon's career with close links to members of organized crime. But Lyndon Johnson, as president of the United States, ordered the Warren Commission to investigate this matter. He locked up evidence for more than 75 years, the year 2037 it is now, to keep the conspiracy shut up till all of us on planet Earth would be dead by that time. Johnson was ridiculed by a play in New York, McBird. The finger was always pointed at him for covering up the murders. Hard to believe that Carlos Marchello's and Santos Trafficana had the control over the government. And if they do, you're in worse trouble than you think. If those two men could control the Justice Department and the Pentagon and send in Mr. Otto Winokur, a German from the Pentagon, to write the Warren Report, then there isn't a hair's breadth difference between the defense intelligence agencies and organized crime and the syndicate. And if you think Pope Paul VI was a member of the OSS and the American intelligence community, maybe there isn't. Maybe that's what this whole shtick is about, is getting everybody drugged and dope and ripping them off and killing them. I don't know. But it just seems that they've opened up a Pandora's box by trying to blame it on these two slobs, because I don't think they'll take it, and maybe they'd be threatened with deportation or arrest, and they'll keep quiet. The New York Times article says, regarding the John Kennedy assassination, there's no evidence, as I say, that a meeting took place where the murder was planned. Well, there was evidence at that hotel the year the man, Robert Mayhew, was alive, and they could call him in. They didn't call him in as a witness, even though he set up assassination teams and all that money and large groups of men just to kill Fidel Castro. Murders aren't planned that way anyway. If you hear the White House tapes, and if Nixon had still been president, he says, we better do something about Trudeau. Is that an order to kill Trudeau? If he says you have to take care of Magruder, does that mean that G. Gordon Liddy goes out with a gun and thinks that's an order to kill him? He did, and somebody stopped him. All you have to do is say, take care of Magruder. Now, Liddy doesn't know who orders the killings. He would just kill. He was told to kill, he would kill. That's not the way killings are done. The upper echelon know what they're doing, and it's very seldom that people hear the orders to kill. That news story came out this week about the killing of Admiral Darlan. I'm going to go into that in a minute, where a woman is alive who sat in at the time that the Count of Paris ordered the murder of Darlan in South Africa. That was just revealed before she died this week. Interesting story because of its links to the Kennedy assassination and why history is a continuous change. But they don't sit in a room, and the people around usually don't talk. This woman is talking. It's 36 years later. It doesn't usually happen that way. The House Select Committee on Assassinations is quoted as saying, there is no account of the details of the plot. There is circumstantial evidence to connect the death of the president to elements of organized crime, not a national crime syndicate, nor to an individual. It's not the whole syndicate, heavens, don't think that. Or don't pin it on Hoffa, no. But there is an element of organized crime enough to connect this evidence to the death of the president. That won't wash either. Think of all the evidence that's been destroyed of this crime. The bullets that J. Edgar Hoover tested in 1964 that weren't tested again in 1978 because they were different bullets, that they had the neutron activation test. Kennedy's brains in the archives. Do members of the syndicate or crime control where his brains were to see if one or more bullets were fired from different weapons because of the metal in the brains? How about the voice prints of Oswald that the CIA tape recorded on telephones in Mexico? Pardon me. And we've never heard those. Or pictures of a man going to the embassy using Oswald's name. It has never been identified. The CIA safe house on Neely Street where Lee Harvey Oswald stayed, where that famous picture was taken of him holding a rifle, pistol, and a communist piece of literature, and then the case was solved within hours. Or the disappearance of John Paisley, that complicated matter where the Maryland police, the FBI, the CIA are all involved. Who destroys the clothing of John Connolly so they can't find if the bullets were entry bullets when it was dry clean? Who destroys the lamppost files, the Oswald 201 files, Oswald's box office, his post office applications that were missing, the street signs that were missing, because there could be bullet fragments from over the grassy knoll, that street sign was removed, the interior of the car sent to Michigan and destroyed, important witnesses not called. Who was doing all that? Not Jimmy Hoffa. He didn't do all that, and neither did Carlos Marcellus. I haven't ever in 15 years seen records of Carlos Marcellus going in and out of Bethesda Hospital at the time of the autopsy and picking up the undeveloped x-rays or writing the autopsy report for Commander Hume and burning the next one or sneaking into the archives to take away Kennedy's brains or going down to the Atomic Energy Commission group and changing the bullets that were tested that came out of the body of John Kennedy and John Connolly found in the car. I haven't seen Carlos Marcellus creeping around any of these places. I don't even know if he leaves New Orleans or Baton Rouge, his headquarters, but certainly he didn't mishandle at least 36 pieces of major evidence that falsify information, and he didn't run the investigation of the Warren Commission where they agreed that they wouldn't cross-examine witnesses, that they wouldn't tape record their first conversations and rehearsals of their testimony, and all the perjury, the outright lies that went on. If Carlos Marcellus is the voice box of Marina Oswald, that's the greatest trick I've ever heard. They didn't do all that, and obviously this isn't going to wash, but the story is there is a conspiracy, and they've gotten as far as the Cupids and Marcello and Traficanta. Coincidentally, the government had their excuse for wiretapping was to get members of organized crime, which they very seldom ever pull in on that. charge, but when it came to the push and shove, the two people that they never wiretapped were the very people that worked with Robert Mayhew, Santos Traficana, and Carlos Marcello. And the reason they didn't ever wiretap them was, I'm sure, for the purposes of concealing their own work as espionage agents working for the United States government. The New York Times headlines on this JFK killing conspiracy say that Traficana and Marcello both had dealings with Jack Ruby. That, I believe, Ruby had dealings with organized crime members in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, Las Vegas, Chicago, with Sam Giancana. He had talked on the phone to Sam Giancana. He did have those links. But they also are writing reports saying that Ruby and Lee Harvey Oswald had links to organized crime. Now, that's a catchy one that you have to watch when this report comes out, and we have to work on more. In 15 years, I never saw in any of the 15 volumes or books, any evidence, hard evidence, that Lee Harvey Oswald worked with organized crime. He worked with Max Clark, who was chief of security at Convair, General Dynamics. He worked with members of Navy intelligence. He worked with CIA agents in the Soviet Union, Mr. McVicker and Schneider, Priscilla Johnson, Eileen Mosby. He was with CIA and Alexander Zeiger. He worked with George de Morenschild, a Nazi FBI, CIA agent, and members of the Central Intelligence Agency of Paul Rygotter-Rodsky and George Bowie and Anna Meller and Lydia Dimitri. And those, many of those, 22 of those who came to the United States through the CIA Tolstoy Foundation and members of the CIA Front of the Greek Orthodox Church. Lee Harvey Oswald's connections to the intelligence community are overwhelmingly strong and not with organized crime. But that's why it's time for me to write my books, because I've given all those other gigs 15 years to put out 200 books that don't scratch the surface. Maybe one or two talk about de Morenschild. I think A.J. Weberman's coup d'etat, a few of them. Very few get to the intelligence community, because that is the second half of the investigation, now that they can admit there's a conspiracy. But I do not believe that Lee Harvey Oswald worked with organized crime. His link was with the intelligence community, who did work with organized crime, and then select him as a patsy, or his double to be selected as a patsy and to kill them. As I say, the report will urge, in quotes, the Justice Department to renew efforts to try to determine who worked with Oswald to plot and carry out the murder of President Kennedy. What's wrong with that sentence? I'll read it one more time. In quotes, this is from the House Select Committee report, the New York Times account. In quotes, the report will urge the Justice Department to renew their efforts to try to determine who worked with Oswald to plot and carry out the murder of President Kennedy. Now, Lee Harvey Oswald did work with people who plotted. He did agree to be in the Texas School Book Depository after October of 63. He was a decoy. He left the building. He left the front, got in the car of Michael Payne. He did have close associations with the assassinations. He did not kill the president. That will be my second book in the order of priority. I'm doing another one first, but because I think it's the most interesting and the most important. It should go the other order, that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill anybody, but I'm choosing another book first. And the second book hopefully will be the proof that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't fire a gun and didn't kill anybody. The Justice Department has been asked to find out who worked with Oswald to plot and carry out the murder, and that is the important question. Not who helped Oswald kill the president, but who worked to plot and carry out the murder of the President Kennedy, because that is what the House Select Committee on Assassinations should have done when they spent their $6 million and their 2.5 years' work, and I disagreed with all the researchers who assisted them back there. The primary thing to do in that investigation was to prove that Lee Harvey Oswald fired a rifle that day, because if he didn't, the investigation would have taken an entirely different turn. And because there is no proof of the ownership of the rifle, no proof that he picked it up at that mailbox or ever saw it, no fingerprints or physical evidence, not a hair or a piece of physical evidence to link him, or a palm print, which the FBI knew, and I have the documents, knew he didn't touch that rifle. There is no evidence linking him carrying it into the building. The package he had was too small. There is no way that he fired it. The view was obscured. He wasn't on the sixth floor. The elevator didn't work. He was downstairs having a drink. Yes, he was in the building. Yes, he left the building. Yes, he was in New Orleans with the people who plotted it. He was in Mexico with the people who plotted it. That's all. He was a patsy. He was a decoy and then turned into a patsy. But his name was also used in plans in Chicago to kill a president. In Miami, they were to have a patsy. And he went along with this part of it. So the Justice Department will be asked to renew their efforts, and they will continue. But the important thing is that the House report will say that there was a plan to kill John Kennedy, that there was a conspiracy. They have too much evidence right now to cover this thing up, at least all the way. They're halfway there, as I said before. This is the 11th anniversary of the death of Robert Kennedy. There was a pitiful picture of Ethel and Ted sobbing at the funeral, and not the funeral, at the cemetery. I'm sure all of you saw it. Ted's holding a rose and crying, and Ethel's holding a rosary. I have the utmost disrespect for this despicable, miserable combination of people. The best living memory is not to avenge, not eye for an eye, but find out who killed so that the killings stop. The killings haven't stopped, and these people have allowed the headlines that we see today to take place, I believe, because of the change of hands of this government. I see articles, the Iranian thugs beheaded a wealthy Jewish woman. They tore into her house and cut her head off and said this is only the beginning. The independent truckers are cutting off links of food to the stores. The water is polluted all over the country. Radiation overdoses at labs. Health officials warning about herbicides. Poisonings on pot or marijuana. Aliens are being registered by computers. Funds cut off for mental health. I can go on and give you 90 things that happened in our country since John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were killed that I believe might have changed had anybody with a bit of decency not turned the government over to the Nazis. But this poisoning of the people, poisoning the food, the water, the mines, the computers for people coming in and out of the country, on the excuse that too many aliens get in, you're going into a nightmare age, and you're going in there for the simple reason that we haven't made the effort, enough effort to expose these people. And certainly Ethel and Ted Kennedy never appeared at any single hearings or gave a minute's support to anybody who had the most patriotic purposes in finding out who murdered Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy and Mary Jo Kopechne. They are caught grieving, but in between, they wouldn't answer a letter from a researcher or give them the nod of a head or give them any kind of acknowledgement that the deaths of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy made a bit of difference. For Ethel, it's nothing but a Robert Kennedy tennis tournament every year, and they have a big social get-together. Instead of having that same energy directed to finding out who killed her husband, it's become a social event. One of the big social events of the year. Pope is kicking up a storm. Those of you who have my back tapes know in November of this year, tapes number 362, 363, and 364 about the Polish Pope. He's in Europe damning the communists. He didn't go to Mexico and give speeches against the fascist regimes of Nicaragua and Brazil and Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Guatemala, terrible places where torture, missing people, goon squads, death squads, even good Catholics wiped out and priests, assassinated. He's there rallying up a country that is fascist. Our National Security Council advisor, Brzezinski, is from that country. Maybe you saw an article this week about Polish Jewry. There's only 5,000 people of Jewish religion in Poland. Before the war, there were 3.5 million Jewish scholars, writers, artists, musicians, actors, and scientists. There are now about 5,000 Jews and not one child, not one under the age that would give birth to a child. It's going to be a country. entirely void of Jews. But he went to Krakow, his home base, and if you look at the tapes, I have the maps of his home country, and he went to the scene of the crime yesterday. He went to Auschwitz, where he worked in a rock quarry, where he was a chemist for IG Farben. Farben made the chemicals that exterminated all the Jews in Poland and other concentration camps. The Pope chided the communists in Poland for never allowing his predecessor, the one before John Paul I that was murdered, Pope Paul VI, they never allowed him to come into Poland. He called him the Pope of our millennium, and yet that was the very Pope, as Secretary of the Vatican, who wrote the passports for the Nazis to leave Europe, to go out to the Middle East and to South America and Central America and Asia, China, all over the world, to the United States. He wrote passports for the top Nazis to leave, and he's chiding these people that they didn't let the Pope of the millennium come in. Within a few years, there won't be a single Jew in all of Poland, nor a synagogue. Nothing is being renovated.